Thank God for being here again tonight. We do appreciate God for his goodness and for his mercies unto us. You know, I was sitting there thinking, even as the sister was just testifying and expressing, a lot of times, saints of God, I wonder, do we really know where we are? We're not just in a church among churches. Amen. We're not in a church among churches. Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And when you just look at the church as it is, if there had just been that church, everybody that get in trouble in their life would know where to come. And they would know that that would be their refuge. But Satan, with his old dirty self, he realized that, look, if God only had one church, everybody that needed that hope would come to that church. So what he has done is put a lot of counterfeits out there. And saints of God, people, they become religious and still lost. And a lot of times it confuses them because they know that I was told if I come to Jesus that he would change me. And they wonder why they're not changed. And saints of God, everybody is using the Bible. But the Bible say evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And I'm finding that, saints of God, these men out here in this religious world, they are being deceived by their own doctrine. I heard a preacher explain the reason that he don't believe the Bible. He began to take scriptures and twist them and made them contradict themselves. For instance, he used a rapture. Well, we know that the rapture is false. But he took the rapture and tried to apply it to some scriptures, such as when Jesus told the disciples, there are some of you standing here that won't see death until the kingdom come. And he'll take that scripture and twist it and say, well, we're still waiting for the kingdom. And most false religion, they're looking for a millennium. But saints, you ought to be rejoicing in the fact that there's a kingdom of peace. Amen. And is reigning within. Amen. It shall ever increase in our soul. Yes. We possess it right here. Amen. When we're saved from all sin. Amen. And it'll last while the ages roll. It's amazing to me how simple it is to live for God. Amen. How simple the scriptures are when you have the Spirit of God. All this stuff, saints of God, I've heard people talk about the book of Revelation, and brother, they had monsters and everything else coming at them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But isn't it something that we have light on the Word of God? And we understand, saints of God, what it means. We know line upon line and precept upon precept. We're not confused about what the word says. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes, it is.
We want you to turn your Bibles to Hebrews 12 tonight, and we're going to pray while you're turning. Our Heavenly Father, we need you one more time tonight to help us, Lord, as we come to your church. My God, we pray, Lord, that you will clear minds and open understanding. My God, help us out, Lord, as the brother has already said. There's no ability within us, Lord God, to edify or to bless. But Lord God, we're just vessels that you can use. And we are praying, Lord God, that as much, Lord God, if we allow you, that you will pour in, Lord God, and we'll pour out and give the saints, Lord God, what would bless them In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. And again, our message comes with a question. Do you know where you are? Do you know where you are? I'm afraid that a lot of people have come to an altar, asked Christ to come into their life, and saints of God, they're around a good group of people. You know, the saints are just some good people to be around. But I believe that sometime God has to open your eyes and let you see. Because if you remember Nicodemus, he came to Jesus. And he said that we know that you're a man that comes from God. For no man can do the miracles that you're doing. Letting you know that they have been sitting around discussing this. No man can do the miracles that you're doing except God be with him. And as Jesus began to talk, he let him know that, listen, you must be born again. This man, saints of God, was a teacher and a master in the Pharisees' religion. And when Jesus said, you must be born again, he said, is it possible that a man can enter the second time into his mother's womb? And Jesus said, how is it that you, being a teacher and a master, don't understand these simple sayings? And what's so amazing about it, saints of God, is that a lot of times people are preaching, but they don't even know how to get saved. They'll tell the people to come up and shake the preacher's hand, and now you've become part of the church. But look how serious it is. Here you have the Pope, worship all over the world. Biggest church in the world. Billions, millions. And saints of God, what makes it so sad? I heard once a true story. Church of God pastor, wife talking to the neighbor. There was a nun visiting. And the pastor, wife, and the neighbor is talking. She's saying the word salvation, you know, at different points in her conversation. The nun comes over and asks, excuse me. I hear you all talking, and you keep saying something about salvation. What is that? Here's a young lady that has given herself over to the church. Never to be married. Her whole life goes to the church. And saints of God, she doesn't even know what salvation is. But it goes deeper than that. If she doesn't know what salvation is, the mother superior don't know. Not only that, but the priests don't know. Brother, the bishops and archbishops, they don't know. And guess what? The Pope don't even know. And they're being worshiped all over the world and don't know how to get saved. But here it is, saints of God, some little simple folks that came into a service or heard a tape or watched somebody on the job, got convicted, and brother responded to the conviction, was explained how to repent, and you repented, and God saved you. If by simple faith in Jesus I abide, then my soul is fully satisfied. Saints of God, I'm afraid that too many people take God's church for granted. You take the service, the messages for granted. But brother, there are people around this world, if they could get what you're getting, would cherish it with their lives. And one thing I have found is this. Brother, the average saint that comes out of false religion, brother, when they get a hold to this truth, it's precious to them.
Amen. Amen.
Brother, especially if they've been taught false religion all their life, when they come to the truth, it's precious. I have found that saints' children, many times we take it for granted. We've been around it all our life. We take chances with our soul. But sometimes your friends, they'll get a hold to it, get saved, brother, and cherish it.
Amen. Thank God.
And cherish it. I can remember times in my life when my mother would have devotion. And sometimes she would catch me while my friends were there. Being a teenager, I would feel kind of embarrassed when she would say, "Let's have devotion." But she would use that opportunity to witness to my partners. And saints of God, I would be sitting there feeling embarrassed because she's talking about Jesus and salvation. And here it is, I'm supposed to be, you know, out in the street and really got it going on. And you know what my friends would say? "You all do this all the time, Miss McCraney? You mean you all pray and sing songs and do stuff like that?" And saints of God, I would be feeling embarrassed. But you know how those young men felt? "Man, if I had a mother that prayed with me." We didn't go to school with no prayer. Before we walked out the door, my mother prayed with us. "Protect and be with my children all day." And saints of God, when my friends would see that, brother, you know, they want to come to another devotion. And sometimes we walking around, they trying to sing the song they heard. But I know who, I believe it. Didn't know how it go, but they liked the little song. Embarrassing me. But you know what, saints of God? I'm glad that I can appreciate now what I have. And I want you to appreciate it. Do you know where you are? We're in God's habitation. Amen. Saints of God, why do you come to church? Come on, this is nothing deep. This is something profound and simple. Why do you come to church? How's your mind before the service? Do you prepare yourself to enter in and worship? If we're not careful, we'll be so used to, on Wednesday night is midnight, you know, whenever you have your midweek service, and Sunday and Sunday school, saints of God, you'll come and it'll become just a form. And the fearful thing about our day is when it speaks about the perilous times, one of the things that's in there is that they will have a form of godliness, but no power. That's why it bothers me when I find people willing to put you away because you're not like them. Well, I don't have any problem with that. My question is, what is it you got that I don't have? If you could show me the power, brother, I'll follow you. Because what? Saints of God, I don't know anybody that can boast that they got all the glory. I said, nobody. And you know what? That ought to concern us. When I read the Bible, Jesus said, and greater things, the things he was doing, he said, greater things than this you're going to do. Come on, 2016. Let's forget about D.S. Warner. Let's forget about the morning time. How are we looking tonight? Come on, how are we looking? Listen, it's still in the Bible talking to us. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall, not might, they shall recover. Does that even concern you? I'm going to show you how sad, saints of God, we can get. And it ought to disturb us as a church. There was a congregation having a play. Two things they did. Listen at this good. They were having a play, And in this play, they used the ministers. And what happened, Bro Goble, is that the ministers were so divided, it was a shame. It was a shame how divided the ministers were. Now, this is a play. Brother, then they went and got before the Lord, and folks consecrated and gave up things, and God began to convict them. They came back together, repenting and hugging and doing all these things. Well, I think somewhere in the beginning of the play, they was praying and nothing was happening. And this time, when they came back after the repentance and all, brother, and getting everything straight, they was laying hands on the sick, and they was recovering. Listen. Isn't it sad when you know what to do and don't do it? To me, that was like mockery. You mean you know what to do? Listen, you know what to do and you're not doing it. You know that if we repent, and here's the thing, saints of God, are we afraid of the word repent? Church of God? If we're not careful, we'll be deceived on our own doctrine. Yes, we believe in living free from sin. But let me tell you something. Saints of God, if you're guilty, come on. Amen. Preachers, if you're guilty, guess what? You need to repent. But what happens is some people are so holy in their own self-righteousness that they'll go along with sin in their lives, and saints of God, expect God to work over it. It'll never happen. I believe firmly that the Bible say, if I don't love my brother, I'm in darkness and I'm lying against the truth. That's Bible. I might not ever be a popular preacher because I don't have no better sense than to preach like I do. I'm serious. I might not ever, brother, listen, I might not ever be in a lot of fellowships because by the grace of God, as long as I got a mouth, I want to tell the truth. Listen, saints of God, if he told the seven churches, if he dealt with them in such a way, then he asked them, listen, he said, remember where you're fallen. Church of God, you can fall from that high state where God expects you to be. I want you to think about this. If Jesus came tonight, would you be ready? Would you be ready? And the thing about this, don't nobody have to ask you what you've been doing. You can judge your own self because you know how you live. Are you a hindrance to the power? Are you a hindrance to the glory? Can God put his approval on you? I think a few years ago, I might have mentioned that even here. Remember when Abraham was talking to God and asked him about destroying the righteous with the wicked? The man went all the way up to 50. Because no doubt he knew 50 people that was righteous in his eyes. Come on. Saints of God, they didn't qualify. The man got all the way down to 10. But remember what God said. God said, if you can find them, I won't destroy. I won't destroy. Why did God say that? Because God knows each of us just for who we are. Come on. I tell the saints back home, when you come to church with your church face, God still knows you. Come on, listen, is it possible that we have mean husbands somewhere in here? Brother, how do you treat your wife? God don't have mean Church of God husbands. We don't pop whips with our companion. Cook clean. Iron. Come on. Make my shower, my bath water. We don't pop whips. Come on. You didn't marry your little girl. She's your companion. Your helpmeet. She is to be by your side. What about some of you married folks? Are you more faithful now than before you got married? Oh, I thank God I can take this liberty because I don't know anybody and I don't know your status. Before you got married, you were faithful to God's service. Now when one miss, the other miss also. See, I know y'all don't have this in California, but have you ever had those saints, brother, they call and say, Pastor, the baby is sick, but you don't see nobody come to church. Come on. When one gets sick, the whole family is sick. That's not faithfulness. That's not faithfulness. Can I help myself? You told me to take my liberty, didn't you? Listen, saints of God, our homes have to be right if we're going to be church of God. Have you ever stopped to think it's not what you are in the pew, it's what you are at home? Do you and your wife pray together at home? Come on. Let me ask you this. When the last time you saw your husband on his knees praying? Wife? Husband? When the last time you saw your husband in the room in devotion? Come on. And then you ask the question, where's the power? Come on. Listen, in our appeal last night, we kind of talk to sinners, but saints ought to have an encounter with God. Amen. I remember a brother in a certain congregation giving this testimony. He was in a revival or a meeting, I guess, just like this. And God dealt with his heart. He went home, his family went home. And everybody went to bed, and God just persuaded him and pressed him to keep on praying. This man prayed and prayed, and after a while, brother, he broke through with on God and was going through the house, brother, waking everybody up. Thank God, I'm saved, I'm saved. His parents and siblings and everybody looking at him like he was crazy. Why? He sung in the brothers' group. He had been around the church a long time. But what happened, saints of God, is that he really had a real breakthrough. And the experience he got on his knees was not what he got when he went to the altar. A lot of people come because my family members are saved. If my mom and dad leave, I'm gone too. You got to have this for yourself. If my wife walk away from God, I need to be so deep in God that, saints of God, I can stand. Before I was ever a pastor, even had a thought that I would be a pastor. I remember telling God, I guess I heard some message, Pastor Goble, that convicted me, and I guess I went to the altar, and I told God this. I said, God, give me an experience that wherever I am in the world, I'll stay true. Help me to be saved because I love you. Come on. I love God's people, but you need to love God first. Listen, saints of God, these people that you find with special blessings in the Bible, look at their relationship they had with God. Abraham, Anytime God called him, he said, Lord, here am I. Here am I. I was sharing with the pastor, I believe it was Daniel, in captivity, on his way down to Babylon. But while he's marching, the Bible says he purposed in his heart that while I'm down in Babylon, I won't be partakers of Babylon. He purposed in his heart. And saints of God, he was tested to that end, and we found the man to be faithful. Why was he faithful? The Bible said the man had an excellent spirit. Could God say that about you tonight? Come on. Do you have an excellent spirit? Come on. Do your children have confidence in your prayers? Do they have any confidence in you? Let me show you a little something that happened to Pastor McCrady. I was preaching one Sunday, and I got stuck on the point about Stephen, where the Bible says when the council came against him, they looked at his face and they saw his face as it was the face of a what? Of an angel. Oh, and I just begin to more or less walk the aisle, so to speak, on the saints. And I begin to talk to them. When you're talking, are you looking like an angel? Come on. When you're talking to your wife, are you looking like an angel? Oh, brother, man, folks probably come to the altar and everything. But guess what? I'm going to show you how real this is, how human we are. Brother, I was in the van with my wife, and my granddaughter was in there. And she was minding her own business. And grandma and grandpa was talking. And I don't know what my wife said, but evidently I must got a little bass in my voice. My granddaughter said, Pawpaw, excuse me. I said, what, baby? She says, is that an angel face that you're talking to grandma with? Ask me, did I get convicted? Listen, saints, it's more than just talk. Right. That was serious enough to her. You know how a husband and wife can talk, but she listening at the tone. I just heard Grandpa preach about the angel face. And I guess she was looking through the rearview mirror. What is his lips doing? And his eyes as he looks at Grandma. Come on. Listen, saints of God, is more than just talk. God expects us to have a life. Amen. Let's look into the words some here. In Hebrews chapter 12, start at verse number 13, dear.
And make straight paths for your feet.
And make straight paths for you. Are we reading Hebrews 12, 13 now?
Yes.
Okay, come on.
Lest that which is lame be turned out of the way.
Come on.
But let it rather be healed.
Yes.
Follow peace with all men.
Follow peace with all men.
And holiness.
And holiness.
Without which no man shall see the
Lord. Saints of God, without holiness, nobody's going to see this truth. Come on, read.
Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled.
A lot of times, saints of God, people's defilement can start right in church. Amen. You had a special and you thought you was overlooked. And you sent another notice up and it's another service and you thought you were overlooked. The devil begin to talk to you. They don't have confidence in you. You know, they really don't have confidence in you. And some kind of way, brother, rather than you get an understanding and get it clear, you become bitter. Right in the pew. And saints of God, now when the pastor gets up, you're turned off. He's wondering, you know, why aren't you responding to the message? Brother, you've allowed bitterness to set in. And listen at this, saints of God, keep this in mind. The devil wants us as cheap as he can get
us. That's right.
If you stay in church and be lost, he's satisfied with that. You don't have to go and get drunk again. Just get bitter. The Bible say many become defiled. The church is having a gathering. Brother, you was always there. You know, Brother Barbecue, you know, he cooked the good ribs. Everybody's waiting on him. He's not there. Why? He's bitter. He's bitter. Come to church. And I'm going to tell you something. Brother, you can say what you want to say. But, Pastor, you know what I'm talking about. When people start changing their locations in church, something's wrong. Brother, I've been looking for you to amen me every night. And all of a sudden, I come down a line that punch you right in the gut. And I look for you tonight, and I can't find you. So you won't get me tonight. Man, folks start playing musical chairs. You know, you can't find them. And what most people do, they ease themselves right on out the door. Come on. Why not stay in the front and cheer the pastor on? Amen. Preach it, Pastor. Burn me up. Come on. Read.
Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright.
Isn't that something? Come on.
For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears.
Let me give you a thought, saints. Think about this. Salvation benefited us, not God. He is the one that drew us to give us this sweet holiness. Think about it. What have you done to deserve to be saved? I heard the sister's testimony tonight about the aneurysm and all that. What in the world did you do to be in the church of God tonight? But that shows you, as we said another night, the great love of God. When you ought to have been dead, God, he let you live. It's almost like Ezekiel 16. When I saw you in your blood, while everybody was passing by, he said, I passed by. And when I saw you helpless, I said, live. And all of us are alive tonight because God said, live. Nothing you can do. I tell the saints at church, look, your tithes and offering, none of that can appease God. There's only one thing that God is satisfied with, and that's the fruit of our lips, giving praise to him. He wants somebody that'll praise him. Amen. Come on. Don't tell me about, well, you know, I'm just quiet by nature. You know, my mom was quiet and my dad was quiet. We're just quiet people. I want you to watch some people at the church outing. Brother, those quiet people, you'll look over in the corner and the sisters and brothers are doing something. Oh, that. You have to look twice. What in the world? Not Sister Church Mouse. I didn't even know she had it in her. What am I saying? Something excites all of us, but not church. something that excites all of us. It's in your nature to get excited about something. See, we don't see you on payday when you're going to the bank. Woo! That bonus. Ow! Come on. We don't see you when you get that raise and how excited you get. But when you walk in the house of God, some old dead spirit come over you. How in the world can you sing, I am a child of God. I am a child of God. Brother, listen, if I was a visitor and saw that, I would look around. Who is a child of God? This is how children of God react to a song like that? Come on. Every band is riffing? I can't tell. Come on. Can you imagine? I'm talking about singing these songs. I am raining, sweetly raining over all this world of sin. In each storm and tribulation is your Jesus. Come on. And brother, you get to the chorus. I am. Come on. You know what? Some of y'all need to visit us.
Yes, they do.
Brother, I'm telling you. You know what? I'm going to tell you what happened. Brother, we had a chance to, Brother Goble was preaching in Oklahoma. And I don't think Brother Chester had a revival in about 10 years, if I'm not mistaken. So when I heard he was there, I took about maybe 8 or 9 brothers with me. And brother, we went in their service. And brother, they were singing the same songs that we sing. And we were acting the way we act. No, we wasn't showing out. We was just acting the way we act. Come on. And brother, we was cutting loose. Glory! We might have scared a few people. But brother, we was making some noise. Guess what? Before we got out of there, brother, we heard some noise. Let me tell you something. I don't believe that when you get to heaven, that there's going to be this silence. Lord, I'm so glad. You know, they sing the song, We Shall Wear a Robe and Crown. Do you all sing that? Huh? I want to hear that before I leave so I can see just how you sing it. I don't know how you can sing, We Shall Wear a Robe and Crown, and just, We Shall Wear a Robe and Crown. One of the verses says something about, help me out, baby, the verse about
watch ye therefore.
Watch ye therefore. About when I get to heaven, I'm going to tell him how I got over, how that verse go. Help me out, somebody. But in other words, I'm going to tell him.
Sit down beside King Jesus.
I'm going to sit beside King Jesus.
Tell him how I made it over.
And tell him how I made it over. Brother, listen, all these tests and trials we've been through down here, I cannot see you talking to Jesus. I'm glad I made it. Lord, I really appreciate you giving me grace. Come on. Look, I'm talking about you in heaven now.
I knew he was going to do that.
Thank you for my robe and crown. I appreciate the crown, Jesus, that you gave me. No. According to the book of Revelation, brother, when he crowned the saints of God, you're going to be so excited that you're going to throw them at his feet. I don't deserve this, Lord. This is yours. And you can't tell me that there won't be any excitement. While the world is all excited and people talking about what the devil's doing, you know what I like to do? I like to think about what the Word of God says. John said, I saw a number that no man could number.
Amen.
Of all nations,
amen.
Tongues, brother that made it to heaven. And when he talks about them, I say he saw them in me too. I don't exclude myself from that crowd. Because, saints, I'm excited. I'm happy about what he's done for me. Let me tell you something, Church of God. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but I've seen it a few times. And brother, a few Sundays ago, we saw it. Brother, I had preached to the saints about praising God and giving God thanks. We can't give him anything but praise. And brother, in the night service, the saints came back to church fired up and began to testify and talk about the goodness of God. And saints, as I sat there as a pastor, brother, I couldn't preach. I couldn't preach. Brother, God just had his way. And brother, there was no way I could get a message after God had his way. And I told the saints, listen, the only thing we can do is stand and go home. Why? It's his church. It's not our church. It's God's church. Saints of God, why don't you relieve the pastor sometime and come to church with a mouth full of praise? Don't give a devil money. We don't want to hear you give a devil money.
That's right.
Oh, saints. Oh, the devil. My God, how the devil came against me. On the job, I got home and the food was burnt. Oh, God. Oh, and at the end, you drag Jesus in at the end. But the Lord came in and helped me. No, you drag Jesus in at the end. The devil's got all the glory, but thank God he gave me grace. That's at the end. That's at the end of the testimony. Come on, saints. Give God praise. He's worthy. Amen. Saints of God, how many people we have like had the spirit of Job? Brother, the devil just knew he had him won. I wonder, could God call your name and say, have you considered my servant? Have you considered him? Oh, he's just serving you because of all the blessings you put on his family and all that. But say, no. If you touch him, come on. Listen what the devil said. The devil said, Job is serving you for naught. He said, listen, God, you get, and I don't know how you read the scriptures. It don't take much for me to be encouraged. But listen what it says. The devil said, you got a hedge around him. Why did I ever read that in the Bible? Man, when I read that, I got a revelation. If he had a hedge around Job, he got one around me. If he couldn't just go and get Job, guess what? Pastor, he can't come and get us. Amen. Unless God let him. Listen, while you're wondering why all these bad things are happening, think again. You are precious. God thinks so much of you that he cut the devil loose on you. You never looked at it like that, did you? See, now you scratch your head. You know, I never thought about that, Brother McCraney. Yes, yes. He loved you so much till he's cut the devil loose on you. Look at the things that happened to Job. And, brother, when you start thinking about, man, look, I just can't go take no more. Don't you say that.
True.
Pastor, I don't think I can take any more. Don't let the devil hear you say that. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. What did Job do? Brother, Job took the situation, and brother, he took a bad situation to worship God. Can you imagine a man with all the things that happened to him saying, the Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Guess what, saints? Blessed be the name. May I can see the devil now. Oh. Why? He didn't get any glory. God gave it to me. Not the devil. Most of us, Pastor, the devil just crashed my car. I just bought it. They towed it out. What am I supposed to do? Look what the devil did. No. With all the destruction, Job said, the Lord gave, and the Lord took it away.
Right.
Bless your name. Bless your name. Come on, bless your name.
Amen.
Verse number 18, start there, please.
For you are not come unto the mount that might be touched.
You have not, listen, church of God, you have not come to the mount that could be touched.
And that burned with fire.
And that burned with fire.
Nor unto blackness and darkness and
tempest. This was a literal mountain that is telling us about reed.
And the sound of a trumpet.
Yes.
And the voice of words.
Come on.
Which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them
Come
anymore.
On. Read.
For they could not endure that which was commanded.
Listen, saints, this is talking about literally. They could not take it. Read.
And if so much as a beast touched the mountain.
This is talking about a literal mountain. Brother, those guys were standing there with spears. That if anybody got close, any animal, anything got close, they was going to die. That's how sacred the mountain was. Read.
It shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart.
Come on.
And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I
exceedingly. So terrible was the sight, literally. That Moses, I exceedingly fear.
Fear and quake.
And I quake. Come on.
But ye are coming to Mount Zion.
I think you need to be reminded where you are. Brother, this is not some church on a corner. Listen, saints of God, if we were in a tent, it would still be as sacred as we've been in here tonight. Because what's important is not the carpet and the blue velvet seats. What's more important than anything is what's inside of you. What's inside of you? The Bible said we have this treasure. Come on. We have a treasure that's in an earthen vessel. Come on. We're rich inside. Most times, saints, the devil, the reason he blinds your eyes, he don't want you to know how rich you really are. Think about it. They killed James. And when they saw it pleased the people, they grabbed Peter. The Bible says the church got on his knees praying without ceasing. While the saints were praying, they moved God. Because listen, saints, nothing we have moved God like prayer. We can't go to heaven, but our prayers can reach heaven. They moved God. God sent an angel. Go get him out. Peter, not even realizing what's going on, gets up. Follows this light, gets to the outside and realizes I'm free. He walks to where the saints are, knocks on the door. Young lady goes to the door. Oh! Saints, Peter's at the door. Sister, you're disturbing the prayer meeting. Father, deliver him and get him out. We pray in the name of Jesus, by the power of God. Another knock. Will you all please open the door? Saints, Peter's at the door. Sister, you're out of the spirit. We're trying to get the hold to God right now. Come on. You know how we act. We're praying and trying to break through. But Peter's at the door. They're praying for Peter to be delivered. God delivers Peter. Brother, they don't have confidence in their own prayers. You hear what I'm saying? Hours ago, he been out. He's walking around the door. Man, why are they still in there praying? Lord, please. Not realizing the power they possess. That's how we are, saints of God. If the devil can just keep us blind to what we really are. to what we really are. Brother Lord, we are power in this earth. One place it says in the scripture, the men have come to town that have turned this world upside down. Brother, we can do it, but thanks to God, we don't have confidence in ourselves. We're so busy looking at other people and other churches and what other folks are doing that we're missing out on our own blessing. On our own blessing. May God help us to realize, as saints, we are just more than a group of people that's calling ourselves by our name. We are the people of God. Amen. Read.
But ye are come unto Mount Zion.
Yes.
And unto the city of the living God.
Come on.
The heavenly Jerusalem.
Yes.
And to an innumerable company of angels.
Stop there. An innumerable company of angels. Is anybody got an ugly spirit? Do we have any unapproachable saints? What do you mean unapproachable? You ever seen them behind the saints, brother, in the church that, you know, brother, go tell him something. No, you know his attitude. No, I need you to go and tell him. No, he ain't going to chew me out. Saint now. He's not going to chew me out with his grouchy spirit. Listen, saints, angels. The Bible term us angels. One scripture says you've entertained angels unaware. Unaware. Brother, listen, that saint that you refused to help might have been an angel. God might have sent them your way just to test you.
That's right.
Just to see how you treat them, how you act. Come on. Saints of God, listen. There's no fight in us. We don't bite and devour one another.
Amen.
We love each other. Brother, when Brother Tweet, I met Brother Tweet here, three, 4 years ago. And we have become best friends and good friends and brothers. Love him dearly. Brother, when he was going through his crisis with cancer. And brother, I remember calling him one day and just trying to encourage him. And I said, Brother Tweet, I said, look, man, you know, what can I do to kind of, you know, like cheer you up and make you feel better? He said, Brother McCrane, if you were just here with me, man, I live way in Memphis, Tennessee. He said, well, if you was here with me. Brother, when I got off the phone, you know what I told my wife? Get me a ticket.
Amen.
Get me a ticket. See, he said it talking. But brother, if that is what's going to make my brother feel better, guess what? I'm going to sacrifice. It ain't no holiday or nothing going on. I'm on my way to Idaho. And brother, we had a wonderful time. Went and visited the saints in Montana. Come on. Brother, and God blessed him in his body. Thank God he's here today.
Amen.
You know why he's here? The saints prayed.
Just
like the saints prayed for Peter, brother, his wife is here today. What the saints do, they prayed.
Amen. Thank
God still answers prayer.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. There is no bond on earth like God's people.
That's right. Amen.
Let me tell you, saints of God, your unsaved family, even though they're your blood, brother, there's nothing that's thicker than the blood of Jesus. Why? Brother, if you don't do what your unsaved family wants you to do, they will forsake you. Just because you're standing on the word. But when everybody else forsakes you, guess who's going to be there? Your family. Why? Brother, we go through the same suffering. We understand what you're dealing with. Brother, your unsaved family don't understand. They can't comprehend this love. They can't comprehend it. When we had an opportunity to show the world, when we had the opportunity to show the world what the church of God was all about, brother, we blew it. You ever read Church of God history about the sixth seal? How when they was having camp meetings, Brother, they said black and whites were together. Brother, God was healing. Brother, the power of God being manifest. The gospel trumpet going all over the world. Brother, touching everybody. And brother, God was manifesting himself. And brother, all the Spirit did was get in one person, I guess, or some group of ministers. The saints come to the next camp meeting, and brother, there's a rope down the middle of the tabernacle. And saints walking in to go sit down. No, no, you all sit over there and everybody else sit over here. And brother, that's when they had to split with the whites and the blacks. And after that, you didn't hear about no more healing. You know why? Because God don't bless mess. And guess what, Church of God? He's no different with us. He don't bless our mess. We are connected. We're connected. Listen, we are a body. Somebody might say, well, Bro Gobo, we're not doing that. That ain't how God look at it. Because we love one another and doing what we ought to do. When God looked at the church, he looks at it as a body. Come on, he looks at it as a body. And the way God feels about it is this. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, and you know what the scripture says. When he says my people, he don't mean Memphis and California. He means all my people.
Right. That's right.
He means all my people. Yeah. But here's the thing, saints of God, and this is what you ought to rejoice in. That God still have a few men that don't mind taking a risk to stand clear. Mm-hmm. Brother, if you knew, I was sharing with the pastor, if you knew how many times they'd be wondering, where's Brother McCraney going out west? I'm going to see the saints. But what is he doing? I'm preaching the gospel. I'm preaching love and unity. Mm-hmm. What makes the church one? Amen. Listen, saints of God, it's time out for being in groups.
Uh-huh. Right.
Amen. Amen.
God's church is not a group, it's a body.
Amen.
Brother, what men have done, they've made us just like the scripture. If the whole body was an ear, where would the body? And what we've come up with, a group of men, everybody want to be the head. Not just a funny looking body, a knucklehead. Everybody want to be the head. Come on. Listen, saints. The Bible says that we're subject one to another. Listen at this. I tell the saints at home, I said, look, I am a saint of God before I'm a pastor. I said, this is a position. I said, when I'm not at church, if you heard me pray, you'll wonder, what's wrong with our pastor? You know why? Brother, I need God. When I go before him, before I come to this revival, if you heard me pray, you would say, you sure that Brother Goble know what he's doing? You know why? I'm telling God, Lord, I don't know what Brother Goble need. I don't know what the saints in California need. God, I don't know what I need. I need your help. There is no ability, no talent, nothing in me to edify your people. Only you can do it. Only you can do it. And saints of God, that's what we need. The church need to be edified. The church need to be edified. Saints, we need to realize that, look, this is a privilege to be able to serve God. In a little while, we don't know what 2016 is going to bring. But brother, while you have this privilege, you ought to be in every service that you can. Because guess what? All it takes is just a few men making a decision and a law coming down saying all churches close. Oh, this is America. Oh, really? Talk to some of the saints where things change. Ask them how it was and then how it happened. Brother, this freedom that we're enjoying, brother, it's not promised that we're going to always have it. Right. When I read the book of Hebrews, that last portion that said, they without us cannot be made perfect. Let me ask you something, saints. I mean, really, just think about it. They without us cannot be made perfect. I'm talking about this stuff that we're looking at. Have you ever read what those saints went through? And brother, the Bible said they didn't obtain the promise. But they without us cannot be made perfect. You mean this, what I'm looking at, is what Jesus was talking about? You mean this, what Paul was writing about us? But guess what? I know the church is alive and well. I know that saints of God, that Jesus is coming back for a holy people. I know that there's somebody going back with him. And the only thing you can do is make sure you're one. Come on. Read some more of that so we can let the saints go, dear.
But ye are coming to Mount Zion.
Yes.
And to the city of the living God,
heavenly
Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels.
Read.
To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all,
yes,
and to the spirits of just men made perfect.
Listen, saints, do you hear that? I don't care what your problem is. God can take care of that.
That's right.
Come on. True. The devil will tell you you'll never get the victory, but that's him talking. The Bible say unto him that's able to keep us from falling, you don't have to backslide and present us faultless. Isn't that something? You can't do it. God is able to present you faultless. And how does he do that? The Bible tells us perfecting holiness in the fear of God. There are some things about our salvation we have to do. We don't turn over new leaves. We don't make New Year's resolutions in that thought. What we do is, Lord, help me to be perfected in your word and allow it to work on me. Saints of God, let me tell you something. When something is working in your body, or you'll find that many times, just say you got a decayed tooth. When that dentist, brother, lay you down and get ready to work on your mouth, if you grab his hand every time he goes to drill to do that root canal, if every time I don't think I can take it. That's how we do God. And let me tell you something. When you come to the altar, there's nothing magical about the ministry and the pastors coming to you, praying over you. When you leave, if you don't change, that altar didn't do nothing. In our formality, we come to the altar. But if you don't leave something there, you get up and take it back with you, you still don't have the victory. And what gets you discouraged is the fact that you came and six ministers prayed for you and you left and it came back. Listen, the victory comes when you decide that this is it. Guess what, saints of God? You don't even have to get on your knees to get the victory. All you got to do is decide that, listen, I'm tired of failing. I'm tired of failing. How many people have you ever seen that really got tired of being fat? I'm not real tired yet, but I'm using this for an example. You find a person that really, I've met some people that got tired of being big. And you know what they decided? Look, I'm going to stop eating this, and I'm going to stop eating that, and I'm going to stop eating that. And brother, you see them again? Man, how many? I've lost 50 pounds. I got 20 more to go. I thought you was going to go with me. See, you'll be like Brother Tweet and I. We always talking about who's going to be the slimmest. But every time you see us, we got a fork to our throat. We'll get on the phone. Man, I lost 25 pounds, Brother Tweet. But before he see me again, I got 30. I thought you were slim, Brother McCready. Yeah, I was slim a few weeks ago, man. But, you know, I been through some little outings and things, and I gained my weight back. A lot of us have lost 1,000 pounds in a year. If you calculate all the 30s, it comes to 1,000. But saints of God, that's not what we need to do. We need to make up in our mind. I've seen some people do it. I remember Pastor Dukes used to be heavy. Every time I see him, I tell him how good he looked in his suits and how they fit him. What happened? He made up in his mind one day that I'm not going to walk around a good preacher. You know how Church of God people do. Brother, we love to eat. He decided that, listen, I'm not going to hurt myself like that. I'm going to discipline myself. Saints of God, it's the same way with victory. Victory is half of the decision that you make. Brother, a lot of times it's only half of the decision. If you just go ahead and make up your mind and say, I'm done. This is it. That's the victory. And walk in it. Mm-hmm. Temptation come. I'm going to resist it. I'm going to keep the victory down in my soul. You can do it. Amen. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Amen. I believe that. That's why when you come to the Memphis meeting, I hope I have a skinny face by then. Amen. Because why? I can do all things through Christ. Saints of God, we're not a defeated people.
Amen.
We got all heaven behind us.
Amen.
We don't have to go through 2016 like we did 2015. Mm-hmm. We got a brand new start. What you going to do about it? Did you finish reading that, dear?
What verse did you want to stop at?
All right. What's the last verse you read?
Unto the firstborn which are written in heaven.
Yes, yes.
And to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect.
Saints, God is able to make us perfect. You can't do it. God can. But the way he does it is through tests and trials. The scripture says in Romans 8 and 28, and we know that all things work together. For what? For the good. To them that what? To them who are called according to his purpose. I'm going to say this and I'll sit down, Lord willing. My mother used to make meatloaf when I was a little boy. And brother, she would have all that stuff mixing it together. And I would see her taste it. Because she was putting the seasoning in. And a lot of times I'll say, Mama, let me taste some. She said, son, it's not done yet. But no, I want some because I saw you taste it. She'll say, here, and brother, you taste that raw stuff, and you spit it out. Ugh, this is nasty. She said, well, I told you it's not ready yet. But what would happen, Mama would work it together. All things work together for good. God will take that mess that you've been in your life, and he'll work it. And when he get done, Mama would bring that meatloaf smoking with that sauce on it and put it on the table. And when you would cut that and eat that, brother, listen, you talking about could cook. You couldn't stop eating it. And it's the same thing with God. If you let him take your trial and work it for you, it's not to discourage you or make you backslide. Trials work for our good. If you let it work for your good, saints, you'll come out the benefactor. You'll come out blessed. May God help us to understand where we are. We're in a place, thanks to God, that whatever's wrong in your life can be made right. Whatever kind of relationship you're in. Brother, if you're in a marriage where you're trying to get along, brother, give it to God. He can fix it. If God can make crooked things straight, brother, what can he do if you put your life in his hand and let him have his way in your life? Saints of God, I've done my best tonight to let you see that, listen, God's church is all we need. If we just submit to the word and allow God to have his way in our life, he can make us different. If you're having difficulty in your marriage, give it to Jesus. I have seen it in my own congregations. Brother, people seem like they just couldn't make it blend. And brother, giving it to God, God began to make them blend. He began to help them to adjust. Help them to understand each other. Why? Brother, two saints ought to be able to live together in harmony. If you have the spirit and she have the spirit, and brother, and you're both talking to God, brother, if you belong to God, God know them that are his. And it's his desire that you have an abundant life. Only he can give you that. The pastors can't give it to you. God can give it to you. Saints of God, if God has spoken to your heart, respond to God. Don't respond to me, respond to God. Let God help you. God bless you, brother.